Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And back with me is Frank with Rockets Chop Shop. Check the Rockets Chop Shop YouTube channel for all his incredible content. And hey, if you're a Texan fan, we dropped an emergency Texans free agency show today. So please check out that ASAP. But let's talk Rockets, Frank. And we can start with a sigh of relief after Rockets Nation held its collective breath Sunday when Şengün was wheeled off the floor. We breathe a sigh of relief because it's just a sprained ankle and a bone bruise on his knee. How you feeling?
Well, first of all, I bet you your emergency pod for the Texans probably is about 5 minutes long because not much happened with the Texans. I didn't know how much Şengün was important to the team until I actually saw him get hurt. It was really depressing as a Rockets fan. It just brought back flashbacks of Yao, of Chris Paul, of all, you know, it just seems like when the Rockets get a player that's going to help us do something productive, they always get hurt or something. Some weird stuff happens with T-Mac. So
Ralph Sampson too.
I mean, you can go back. It's just like I'm not gonna say it's a curse, but for us to hear that it's nothing more than just a bone bruise and a severely sprained ankle, miraculous. I was worried the way he fell, the way the leg kind of looked limp as he was falling. I've seen that before. Usually when you lose control of your ligaments, kind of just fell and it got caught under him. So all the worst was going through my mind, but it is, I think for the Rockets, this was it's a big day for Rockets, the front office and the fans, because to me, Alperen Şengün is the only tangible asset that we have that we know for a fact that at baseline, this guy's good. Everybody else is still pending. And for us to possibly we could have lost him for a significant time. And then, you know, with these injuries, especially with big guys, sometimes they never come back if it's a structural damage to the person they were prior to. And I just think it's a big sigh of relief for Rockets Nation. And I'm glad that it's nothing more. And hopefully he can get back this summer and keep progressing on as he's been doing this season.
Yeah, it wasn't just the concern about could this lead into next year, but also the contract extension that that was going to be discussed this summer, Frank.
Yeah, I mean, I said that. I made a video reacting to his injury, and I said one of the things I felt bad for him because this is not what you want going into your extension year, especially for a guy playing as well as he has. And he's going to deserve and garner a lot of money. You know, if he keeps up what he's doing next year, his agents are probably going to be asking for the rookie scale max. And for somebody that's put in all this work to get to this point, to have it cut off by injuries, it would have been unfortunate. But, you know, for the Rockets, I heard you. I think you had a quick space yesterday on X talking about potentially like the Steph Curry thing where you get a guy that's not quite 100%, but you know he's really, really good. So you're able to get him on a sweetheart deal that kind of helps you build out the team going forward. I mean, it just depends on how he comes back. But regardless, I think either way, what we want is a healthy Şengün. And I'm glad that that's what came out at the end.
With 18 games left in the season, I'm not expecting to see him again. Very unlikely. Right. And all you can do as a Rockets fan now is hope that something good comes out of the rest of the young core with him off the court, likely. Of the core six, it appears to be a major opportunity for Jalen Green, most of all, Frank.
He got to step up. I mean, simply put, Jalen is the highest drafted player since Yao Ming. He is supposed to be where Şengün is right now, if not with him in parallel. He's supposed to be better than him as based on where he's drafted, the stock, the team, the equity, all the stuff they've invested into Jalen Green. He's gotten it all, right? All the reps throughout the rebuild, the focus of the team. Şengün being better than people thought this early is a buffer for Jalen Green. It gives him a shield from the scrutiny of being the top pick in a franchise that's trying to rebuild. So instead of focusing on some of his woes and downfalls, he's kind of been almost put to the side a little bit to, okay, that's just Jalen having a bad game. If Alperen Şengün was not good, the spotlight that would be on Jalen Green, not only from the national NBA audience and the local NBA audience, I don't think he would have survived them mentally. So it's been a double-edged sword for him as far as with his struggles. Obviously, he possibly, I'm not speaking for him, feels a little bit marginalized by Şengün's success. But at the same time, it's been a blessing for him because he's going under the radar and slowly taking his lumps and steps and trying to get better as a player without that full spotlight of being the guy in Houston. So this is his time. This stretch we have coming up is Jalen time. I mean, this is it, bro. Like, you got to step into it. If he wants to make a case to get paid next year, honestly, if he goes on a run where he actually keeps the team afloat based on his merits, I think it really says a lot towards that, and is going to build a lot of goodwill with the fan base as well.
Every time we see a glimmer of hope, though, from Jalen, you hope he's turning a corner. We've anticipated more turned corners than the Indy 500. Frank, over his last five games, his true shooting, 58.6%. Yep. Wow, that's a lot for Jalen Green. It's a big jump, and Udoka is routinely praising his offense and even if his defense. Is this anything? What do you think?
I would say it's something. I've seen some I think right now the main thing for him, based on the skills he has right now, he's applying them efficiently. The shot selection is still questionable. And I think that's kind of one of the things I'd love for him to clean up, is knowing when to shoot certain shots. He does have a tendency to overdo it with the bad shots sometimes when he gets going. But that's even improved itself. The defense, the effort is there. It seems like he's turning the page on being a lazy defender. The making the right reads is improving on that. And the way he's scoring is not just him getting hot from threes, as we've seen in the past, which anytime where Jalen scores a high amount of points and then he goes like 6 for 9 for 3, I really don't count those games because he's not a good shooter right now. The games I like are the ugly ones where he's driving to the basket, getting to the free throw line. He's forcing the issue and then making plays off of the attention he gets. And coming into this stretch without Şengün, without Şengün's gravity on the court, it's really going to challenge that, because it's going to be a lot of him trying to create space and make decisions without somebody else there to take the defense with them. We've seen him struggle with that, but we'll see. Like I said, this is primed and laid on a platter for him to step in and really make a claim to be a guy that the Rockets need to consider not to trade. You know, he's been in trade discussion, so he can really make a name and say that, you know, I deserve to be one of the names that's, you know, the big names on this team going forward into next season, on to into the future.
Yeah, one of the things you talk about is the space that maybe he won't have because Şengün's not there, but it all depends on who's going to be playing instead of Şengün. Who's going to get most of that playing time? Because if it's somebody like Cam Whitmore, there's going to be more space opened up. If they want to go small or do something like that, who do you think is going to be in the starting lineup with Şengün out?
It has to be Jock Landale. And it has to be Jock Landale just as a function of a screener. The problem with our team, Robert, of playing five out as a full-time regimen, especially in the starting five, is that, one, obviously there's a lot of talented big men in the NBA. Number two, we don't have a lot of guys that could dribble and play make. They use the pick and rolls and the DHOs as a form of creating action that gives our guards simple reads. You know, dump it off to the roller, kick it out to the corner. You know, simple things like that. When you get into isolation, which going small, you have to have guys that are able to break down the defense, get feet in the paint, not only just throw your body into a, you know, crowd of defenders, but make plays off of that. I do not trust Fred VanVleet to do that because I don't think he can break down the defense consistently. I don't trust Jalen Green to do that because I don't think he can make the play once he gets into the paint. Obviously, Cam, I do not trust him to even think about dribbling. He might just shoot as soon as he gets the ball. Amen Thompson has dribbling issues. Dylan Brooks' decision-making is questionable. To me, that's going to be the biggest issue is do you trust our guys to make plays? And I think the two-man game, even though Fred and Şengün and Coach Udoka relied on it heavily, it's the simplest, most effective action that we had to generate offense for our team, or the, you know, Şengün getting into a post up. So now they just have to be creative. The way I see it, Robert, I think that we need to just divide up Shangoon's usage amongst what other guys do very well. Get Dylan Brooks into the post ups like he started at the beginning of the season. Get Jabari into that mid to high post area. You can run some two man with Jock Landale. Fred needs a screener to generate space, so that's going to help him. Jalen needs a screener to generate space. If you want to go small, though, I think now they have the optionality to play Jabari more at the five. You could even do some Jabari and Jeff front court stuff. Instead of rolls now, you're doing more pick and pops. So there are some things that they could do to make the defense kind of put some pressure on them, but it's all going to come down to the ball handlers able to make the decisions. To me, that's going to determine everything. If they can't make those reads, then we're going to look like the bad offense that we've looked a lot of times when Şengün isn't on the court.
Yeah, I feel like it's a far cry from the Landale that nobody wanted to see within 300-mile radius of the Toyota Center to now go, okay, he's going to start. And if he starts, typically the starter is going to get at least 30 minutes or 25 to 30 minutes or something like that. I guess I understand why you think that he's the guy, why you think he should start. But, you know, they have a lot of trouble scoring when Şengün doesn't play. And the only guy that can put the ball in the basket consistently on this team, except when Jalen can put it in the basket, it's just not consistently, but the only guy that does it consistently is Cam, and he opens things up, and it opens things up when him and Jalen play together, if you've noticed, Frank, because it seems like that really works well, because it also opens some space up with Cam, you know, being able to shoot like he can.
Let me ask you this, Robert. Do you trust Jabari to play the five, honestly, full-time, or at least not even full-time, but for a good margin of the game?
I just don't think this is about, I mean, we're not, what are we trying to do here? We're not getting in the play-in. I mean, the idea here is, you know, just let's see these guys develop. And I want to see more of the guys that we think are the future, like Cam Whitmore, not guys that like Jock Landale that we're talking about, you know, in a couple of months, he's gone.
I wholly disagree with that. I'm gonna tell you why, Robert. When you were watching that Kings game yesterday, didn't you like the atmosphere? Don't you feel like there's a little bit more oomph in these games for the Rockets because they understand that every single game, in fact, I think their playing already started. It started a few games ago.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with the whole idea of you're trying to win. I'm trying to win more than, you know, along with the development. I think it's a big benefit. But I just don't believe, no matter who you're going to stick out there on the court right now, without Şengün, the one guy on this team that draws doubles, that creates, you know, open shots, that scores. I mean, I just don't see over a 48-minute game that you're going to consistently think that you're going to be in it at the end of the game, especially if you're telling me that Jock Landale is going to be out there for 30 minutes. Jock Landale is going to be out there for 30 minutes.
You said 25 to 30, so I'll give him the 25, the low end of that range. But what I mean by that is, if they get mathematically eliminated, or it's like it's so crazy that they can't make it, then I'm with you. But I honestly believe that they still, even though they are likely not going to make the play-in, the fact that they have a chance and that belief is within the players, even for players like Cam Whitmore, I value that you can bring Cam in to close a game in a game that matters towards that goal. So I'm not caught up on the starting per se. I'm caught up in the moments that these kids get to experience. And I think those moments are more beneficial than just somebody just saying starting. That's more ceremonial to me. Can you get Cam, fourth quarter, 5 minutes left, Cam, and man, you guys are going to go in, because, you know, obviously we're not going to try. Now we can go small. Jabari, you're playing the five. Here's what we're going to, I think that's what I'm trying to capture. If they do just going all development or trying to see the young guys, the games are going to be over before they start. So it might get there. I'm not arguing with you about that, but I think that they should give themselves the structure to at least attempt to put together a regular competing basketball team. And if it, you know, if it looks bad after a couple of games, then I think Udoka and Stone are smart enough to know, like, all right, Fred, Dylan, hey, we're going to start cutting your minutes down. We're going to pivot this a little bit and try to get some data and some reps with certain lineups. But right now with the Warriors, you know, Steph being hurt, I mean, the Lakers are on a roll right now. So it really looks like the Warriors are the ones that I don't know if we have a chance, but if that window does open up, I just value even the thought of them thinking that they can make the play-in, even for the young guys.
Yeah, no, keep trying. I mean, so I'm not saying not try. Just like, I'm just trying to be the real person here.
Yeah, I know. You're pessimistic naturally, so.
Well, it's I think it's more like being real at this point in the season. You know, Jalen, talking about him, he's going to be a father in May. We just found out. I could care less about the gossip angle, Frank. But speaking as a dad, is there any way, as a dad, you think this helps him?
Yeah, I mean, I have some theories about athletics and family. Like, I think for me, one of my big markers for a star player is that they're married. I don't know. That's just me. To me, I just feel like a guy that has a home and is married is somebody I can trust with my franchise. That's on that. But as far as fatherhood, it's mixed, because there's a lot of clowns in the NBA that have kids. But for Jalen, what I'm hoping is that as a young man, he's only, 22 years old. When I had my first child, the realization that you have a child does make you look at the world a little differently. But it didn't really happen until after the kid was born. So I'm not sure. I think it can go either way. I got some friends that have kids that they act the same pre-child, post-child. But for Jalen, I just think he just needs to mature more. And it seems like he's just growing and maturing more. I have noticed that after the news came out of the fact that he was going to be a father publicly, his play did improve. I don't know if it was causing some anxiety or if it was something he was thinking about or was on his mind. But now that it's out and open, maybe he feels the burden of relief that, okay, everybody knows this. Let me go out and just hoop. But, you know, more power to him. I hope that, you know, his lady has a safe delivery. And I think fatherhood may help him just mature a little bit faster so he can really have perspective on basketball being the main way to help his child and help his family out going forward, as he has done to get to this point. But yeah, more power to him. I just hope that he just keeps maturing along in his path as a man.
I don't know what their situation is, but if Jalen and her are together in the same house, the one thing that we know, since the baby's coming in May, Jalen's going to be getting up early. So maybe, you know, that getting up early maybe inspires him to be at the gym even earlier than he normally would be in the summer.
I remember, Robert, there was a story that came out a couple years ago, I think when they were rookies or something like that. And it was released by, I don't know who released it, but they were saying like Jalen Green has been waking up to work out early. And it was like 8 a.m. I'm like, come on, bro. Like the story, it was like he gets up at 8 a.m. to go to the gym. And I'm thinking about guys like Kobe and guys that wake up at 4 in the morning. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, when you're young, a lot of these kids, they don't take care of their bodies. They don't really focus on what the main thing is. As now he's becoming a father in the NBA, growing, he's 22. He's going to be 23 next season. You just hope everything clicks for him, because the talent is there. We've talked about Jalen over and over and over again. To me, a lot of his issues, well, he does have some holes in his game, but even though he's super talented, it's just mentality. I think he loses focus a lot, but I like the stretch he's put together. It feels real. It feels real because he's not always having the best games, but he's helping the team win. So I think that's what I like, and that's what I want to see going forward.
A baby makes you focus, doesn't it?
Ask Fred Van Fleet. After he had his baby in the finals, he turned into one of the best finals performers, guarding Steph Curry, hitting big shots. Yeah, it's a big thing.
Let's move to the offense because Udoka told The Athletic's Kelly Eco that he has not given these guys everything he wants to do offensively. He wanted them to master a few things before he gives them the whole bag. And you've shown concern about Udoka's offense. Did this change your feelings?
I mean, Stephen Silas said the same thing, if you remember. Yeah, he was saying that I don't know. It's kind of more of the same to me. Either our players aren't very smart as a collective, or we just have had bad luck with offensive coaches on back-to-back tenures here in Houston. But I definitely understand with a young team, there's not a lot of vets. But even in that, there's still a lot on the table with Udoka. To me, personally, is left undone. There's a lot of meat on that bone that he's left. Like you talk about with Cam Whitmore, to me, not playing him in certain lineups more as a spacer, electing to play him, play other players. I know Cam is a ball hog right now sometimes, but I think his catch-and-shoot ability does open up a lot for the team. You're looking at a lot of the things that they run. It's really one-dimensional. I won't believe that a team that has Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, and Şengün, at least those three, collectively, they could run a more diverse offense than just pick and rolls or post-ups. And I don't know what Ben Sullivan does. He's a shooting coach. We're the worst shooting team in the league. Guys are not hitting their free throws. If he is the offensive coordinator, we're one of the worst offenses. And let me tell you this, Robert, post All-Star break, the pace has picked up to top five in the league. Our shooting has went down. We've gotten worse. We're not as efficient. We're worst points per possession on offense. Everything has really went down. So I'm not sure where you really go from here with the offense. To me, their issues are personnel-based more than anything. And that's a Rafael Stone thing to fix in this offseason. But I've kind of given up on offense, bro. I think right now they just need to try to win games scrappy and run in transition and try to do the little things to try to win rebound and just play good defense.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to have a fast-paced offense when Fred VanVleet's playing 38 minutes a game, when you've got Dylan Brooks out there who, you know, he's not slow, but he's not somebody at the wing that's going to get out and run and be fast, and Şengün, who wasn't fast. And of course that won't be an issue at this point, but I mean, that's something I understand what they want to do. And when Amen and Cam are out there, it makes total sense because those guys will get it up and down, and Aaron Holiday as well. But like the guys that they've got, I just don't think it's all that realistic. I do want to give a little bit of shine to Fred VanVleet because his shooting struggles are over. It looks like the injury made him look bad for a month, but what we saw pre-injury and post-injury, those 10 games that he struggled, and then the post-injury, the few games that he didn't have it together, that was about health, not his ability. I mean, he shot the ball most of the year. If you take away that stretch, great. I mean, he's been fantastic. And I do think, though, that Dylan Brooks' oblique injury is actually still bothering him, Frank. One night, his defense looks good. The next night, he's getting blown by routinely. Do you agree?
Yeah, I saw a play, I don't know, it was 2 games ago where Dylan tried to pivot and he tried to change direction and it looked like it was painful for him to do so. I've watched him a lot throughout his career because obviously we played Memphis a lot and I like John Morant as a player. So I followed the Grizzlies. Like one thing you can count on is he's a decent defender and he's been really, really struggling these pretty much for the whole month of February into March right now. And I have to believe that oblique injury is just not fully healed or there's some limitation on his mobility there because his change of direction is not great. He looked better yesterday, but he's been getting beat a lot in isolation, giving up a lot of drives to the rim. And yeah, and Fred, yeah, you're right. Fred has looked great. The shooting is back. The turnovers are, you know, he's been pretty good at that. The assist numbers are great. One of the down parts about the Şengün injury is that I think him and Şengün and Fred really feed off of each other. So I'm going to be curious to see how his efficiency looks without Şengün because they're really tied to each other on the court. But to your thing about the pace, now there's a misconception. Now, the players you described, Cam and Amen, they're good in transition. But when it comes to pace, Amen Thompson, one of the slowest pace players on our team because the pace you got to think about is how fast you get into your sets. And a lot of these guys cannot dribble. And when they get the ball, they're just standing there over dribbling, trying to categorize what the defense is doing. And it really does bog down the team. I want them to get into their sets fast. Like as soon as you get there, try to attack the defense before they load up on you. To me, that's where Jalen comes in as a player. He can do that. Fred is a bit more methodical, but Fred actually knows what he's looking for. But for some of the young guys, when you get the ball, make a quick decision and go with it.
With Amen, though, I will say this. It seems like he's trying to either have VanVleet or Holiday out there and basically running the point guard when Amen's in there. So he's not bringing the ball up the court hardly at all anymore.
I'm with that because I know a lot of fans don't like that, but we have to be real. Amen Thompson right now is not a great ball handler. It's not a guy that you're going to run a million pick and rolls with right now. I think over the offseason, that's going to change. I trust his work ethic, but to me, he's being played as a wing forward, kind of this combo wing forward playmaker, and I think that's appropriate for him. And honestly, on the team where if his shooting never develops, that might be where he ends up being, is that kind of that Aaron Gordon kind of playmaker, that Scottie Pippen type of playmaking forward, that's a good defender, rebounder, and he can playmake in certain sets. But for the most part, I'm okay with putting him in different parts on the court. If that, it's really hard to win in the NBA with a guard as your lead ball handler that cannot shoot. That is a hard ask, especially as you go and the talent level goes up in the playoffs and things like that. If the guy that dribbles the ball the most can't shoot, it's very problematic. So for him, he either needs to get better as a shot maker, not even behind the arc, just on the floaters, finishing, mid-range game, to be able to be that ball-dominant point guard that we think that he was drafted to be, or he's going to be playing that off-ball role where he's doing different things from different angles on the court. And he might still get some reps as a point guard, too, doing that as well.
By the way, you talked about Cam, and as a lead member of the Cam Whitmore publicity team, I just want to tell everybody that I am noticing more and more him giving the ball up, him making passes. He's not trying to go in against three or four guys every single time like we saw earlier. I think we're seeing progress, and it's happening before our eyes. I think if you're missing it, then take a watch to see what he does these days. And we saw him recently in the last few games. I've seen him run some pick and rolls and done a nice job, you know, not going into the teeth of the defense, but just pulling up for a nice 12 to 14 foot open jumper. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that you want to see from him.
I think the biggest thing I've taken from Cam this season, and it's very important for him and his fit on a team, is that he's learned to become a catch and shoot shooter. And that's a big deal. When he came in, Cam could not shoot the ball off the catch without having to dribble a couple of times to get himself set up. Now he's able to catch it and go straight into a shot. I think that gives him the ability to be on the court in different positions, because right now ball handling is not his strength. So he's playing more as a wing right now. And as a wing in the NBA in 2024, you have to be able to get the shot off. Because once your offense creates that space where you got to get it off, and he's been doing a great job doing that. I still think the shot selection in stretches has been bad, but he's 19. So that's what you just tack that up to being 19. What does Cam look like at 21 years old? What does Cam look like at 22 when he's Jalen's age? That's a totally different player. But like you said, the micro development is what you want to see. He is passing the ball a little bit more. I'm not going to give him any super credit for that, but I think the catch and shoot ability has been my favorite development from when, if you go watch those early games, it's like as soon as he caught the ball, it was like dribble. I got to get my step back in. Just getting the ball out on the catch and shoots, I think, really opens up our offense, and it's exactly what we need. And I think that's why he gets a lot of burn with Coach Udoka.
Yeah, the people that I know are saying, well, Amen Thompson and over Cam Whitmore, or maybe they feel more comfortable that Amen Thompson is going to be the guy down the road. I just feel like Cam, what he needs to get fixed is much more correctable. Amen not having a shot outside of a dunk is a long, long, long runway to go for him.
Yeah, but Amen he's such a versatile player. I think I would disagree. I think Amen thinks the game a little bit more than Cam, and I think that's one of the harder skill sets to have is a guy that's more cerebral about basketball. I can mitigate a lot of things. To me, the difference with Amen right now with his shot is going to be whether he's going to be a prominent fixture as a focus player on the team or just a very elite role player. With Cam, I think he has similar upside. Is he going to be a prominent offensive like creator, a wing that you can give the ball to, the Jaylen Brown types, the Jason Tatum types, or is he going to be a six man that you just bring in to microwave score? But I like just the fact that he's such a reliable defender as a rookie, and that's only going to get better. I think his skill set, his smarts, the cutting, all that stuff to me just scales up to like he's really going to be good. But it's a good – I mean, they're, to me, why not both, right? We want both of them to be successful. I think that the Rockets really, really did a good job drafting both of those kids, and I think Udoka's doing a great job. A lot of people complain when they were sent to the G League. You know what I mean? A lot of people complain. I think Cam definitely needed that. You can see the fruits of that now towards the end of the season. So I'm really excited to see how they develop over the next few years.
Anything new at Rockets Chop Shop?
No, just same old, making the Rockets content, post-game lives. And yeah, just you guys stop by if you want to hear some really good talk about the Rockets.
Once again, look for the link to our brand new free agency special on the Texans, the show that we just put up today. In the next 30 seconds, you're going to see it. If you're watching YouTube, the link will be there. Always good to catch up with you, Frank, and thanks for the time.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.